This being Tuesday, November the 5th, Election Day, as I record this sermon, I'm not aware of course, how things turned out at this point, as this will be aired on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. And so I thought it would be appropriate for our study this morning to discuss enduring in the faith, as whatever happens in the election, the presidential election, and all the others as well, we need to be faithful in the Lord's church. After we have obeyed the gospel of Christ, we've been added to the Lord's church, the Lord's body, and we must remain a faithful child of God to inherit eternal life. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Where? In the Lord. Yes, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, Jesus said. So we need to remain a steadfast, grounded Christian, regardless of the circumstances in which we live. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Can that be said of us? Well, it's something we need to work towards if we're not adhering to that admonition by the inspired Apostle Paul. As Christians, we must add the Christian graces. 2 Peter 1:5-10. So, yes, we're living in very troubled times. We're fighting, of course, the widespread of humanistic philosophy. It's demoralizing our country. We're having a difficult economy. And there are, of course, more importantly, problems in the Lord's church. So, regardless of these things that are going on around us, again, we need to stay focused. Look at Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That's if we've obeyed the gospel. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope, notice, the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That's right. If we continue in the faith, the one system of faith. So let's study together this morning, enduring in the faith. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And again, PFE is a good way to remember what we need to be doing every day. So we want to take this time now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit. That would be with a proper attitude, but also in truth, in accordance to the New Testament pattern following John 4:24. And something else we want to mention, excuse me, if you're interested in studying the Bible, having a Bible study, we'll set that up at your convenience. We look forward to those opportunities. If you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number Area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning, Enduring in the Faith. There's always the danger of losing sight of that which is the most important. What must we do to ensure that we will endure in the faith to the end? It's vital. It's extremely important for every Christian to answer this question, because it's the last step in the plan of salvation. Be thou faithful unto death. So, again, we must understand what it means to endure in the faith. Notice, as Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10:22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And also in Matthew 24:11-13, notice, Jesus again said, "And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now the context here is before AD 70, but this would apply to us also in being prepared for death or the second coming. Of course, in AD 70, the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem, and how many Jews were killed at that date. But again, this would apply to us as well, as we need to be prepared for our death and for the Lord's second coming. So the following questions we want to study this morning to help us understand what the Bible teaches concerning enduring in the faith. So we'll begin now with our first question: what does it mean to endure in the faith? Well, that's a good place to start, isn't it? When we think of endurance, what may come to mind are such things as athletics, marathon runners especially. They have to be very much with the quality of endurance, do they not? Workers who have difficult jobs, of course, have to have endurance. And those who endure the elements, really bad weather. So we think of these things, but our subject is dealing with spiritual endurance rather than physical endurance. So simply stated, to endure in the faith is to finish our course in life as a faithful Christian regardless of whatever happens. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, as he was facing death. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Well, we want to be of those that love his appearing, do we not? So again, in the faith, and I'm emphasizing that, it means to be in Christ, in his body, the one true church, the church of Christ. After all, he died for it, shed his precious blood in order to purchase it. He is the very foundation. It's his spiritual body. Should it not be called by his name? Think about that. So by obeying the doctrine of Christ, we can be in his body, the true church, Galatians 3:22-27. And of course, you see in Ephesians 4:5, one faith. There's one body, one true church. Let's stay with the doctrine of Christ. Now, as we understand what it means to endure in the faith, to remain faithful in the Lord's church, Let's ask another question. What must we endure as Christians? Well, first of all, we must endure temptations. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You see, God allows Satan to tempt us, but God does not allow him to tempt us in such a way that we're unable to bear it. We know this from 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Are we looking for that way of escape? You see, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. So, we must endure the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. As you see in Genesis 3:6, Satan used these three avenues of temptation with Eve. 1 John 2:15-17 as well. Jesus had to endure these temptations, as we know in Matthew 4. So let's be prepared and endure temptations. Second, we must endure afflictions, persecutions, and tribulations. Well, and disappointments. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul to the young evangelist Timothy by inspiration. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Let's be sure we're enduring those persecutions. Notice 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. So that's coming. So those are things we must endure. A third, we must endure sound doctrine. Now that shouldn't be difficult, but as Paul said, some will not be able to endure sound doctrine, 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't want to be those having itching ears. Of course not. We want to love to hear the truth. And as this is Tuesday, I am really enjoying and benefiting by hearing so many powerful, sound gospel sermons at the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ lectureship. It has really helped me, and I want to commend Brother Charles Blair and the elders, Brother Doug as well, there for having this lectureship and inviting these sound gospel preachers to proclaim the precious Word of God. Well, let's go on, though. Again, we're asking, what must we endure as Christians? Number 4, we're up to, we must endure God's discipline. As children, we needed to endure our parents' discipline, and hopefully they loved us and did discipline us. I know mine did, and I'm thankful for it. Notice Hebrews 12:17. We're talking, of course, about spiritual discipline. Notice, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? He loves us. We need to pray for God's discipline. In fact, we need it. Certainly we don't want to fall out of line, do we? Don't want to lose our soul. So let's pray for God's discipline and endure it and grow from it. So in summary, we must endure all things for the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:7, the love chapter. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's right, agape love should do just that. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now our last question, number three, we're asking to help us to endure in the faith. And this is an important question. How can we be sure that we are enduring in the faith? Well, are we looking unto Jesus and considering what he endured for us? We're partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week if we're a faithful child of God in our worship service. And what are we remembering? His death, burial, and resurrection. What he endured for us. Notice Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's right. He endured the cross. The cross of Calvary. That's where Jesus shed his precious blood, but he endured that terrible burden of all the sins of the world. Think about that, all of us. That's what our Lord did for us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We don't want to be weary, do we? We don't want to faint in our minds. We want to stay focused. Looking unto Jesus. That's right. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And he endured for our sake. And for the forgiveness of our sins, if we obey the gospel and stay faithful, his blood is cleansing us from all sin. Now, we need to ask ourselves, again, we're wanting to know, how can we be sure that we are enduring? Well, first of all, looking unto Jesus, of course, and considering what he endured for us. But second, ask ourselves, is God coming first in our lives? Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, we should all know that. But notice the example of Moses. And this is in the Great Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, that would be Pharaoh, for he endured. Yes, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's right. We don't see with our naked eye our Lord and Savior, but we see him through the eye of faith. And our faith is based on evidence, substance, and we should be with conviction, not a leap in the dark faith. Oh no. But you see, Moses is a good example because he endured. And again, we need to do the same. Number three, are we laboring for that which endureth unto everlasting life? Again, we're warning to answer, how can we be sure that we are enduring? Well, by answering this question, as the others are to be answered as well, are we laboring for that which endureth unto everlasting life? John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus was the Son of Man, and he was the Son of God. He was both man and God in the flesh. Yes, Jesus was God, having left heaven, the second person of the Godhead, and became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. But notice John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yes, Emmanuel means God with us. So God the Son and God in the flesh as a man. We need to appreciate that. Here's another question to ask ourselves as we want to determine how can we be sure that we are enduring in the faith. Well, are we truly happy? Not happenstance, not by chance, but no. Of course, Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount how to be truly happy, the Beatitudes. So that's a good study there. But notice James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. And that's our study, isn't it? Happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Let's not forget that. Of course, Job is an excellent example of patience, and that's pointed out in the Scriptures, isn't it, as we just read. So let's be sure that we are truly happy by following, of course, the teachings of Christ and enduring. That's another means of being happy. Here's another question as we're determining how can we be sure that we're enduring in the faith. Well, do we give joyfully? Notice Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds. That's a good indication that Paul is the inspired writer here. We don't say that 100%, but there are other indications that Paul was the inspired writer, although it doesn't tell us in the inspired book of Hebrews. But notice, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Our funds, our belongings, they're temporary. But what about in eternity, in heaven? It's such a better and enduring substance as we're studying enduring in the faith. That fits right in, doesn't it? So do we give joyfully? Let's be honest with ourselves. And here's another question to help us in determining how can we be sure that we're enduring in the faith? Well, are we a good soldier of Jesus Christ? In 2 Timothy 2:13, notice, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, being from the South, of course, I remember studying about the Civil War, and of course, it was good that slavery was abolished. But General Robert E. Lee, you could say he was on the wrong side, but this man was looked up to as a great general. And he was so loved by his soldiers, they would march barefooted into battle, knowing that they were outnumbered by the federal troops. And if you said something negative about General Lee, well, them was fighting words to a loyal follower. Now, we're not to fight someone physically, of course, but what about our loyalty to Christ? We need to earnestly contend for the faith, Jude 3. So what kind of soldiers are we when the spiritual battles are raging? Again, we're studying about enduring in the faith, and we want to be sure that we're doing just that. So those questions are to help us to examine ourselves and be sure that we are enduring in the faith. We must realize that endurance in the faith is necessary to be saved. Yes, we must be sure that we are enduring to the end. We must never lose sight of the glorious home in heaven that awaits us if we endure. Now, Are we with the whole armor of God? We don't have time now to read Ephesians 6 through 13 through 18, which deals with the whole armor of God, but you'll want to do that. So we want to be sure we're enduring the good fight of faith. We don't want to take off the whole armor of God and expose ourselves to the fiery darts of Satan. No, we want to stay faithful in the Lord's church, no matter what happens in the political arena, no matter what happens in our families, at our work or in school or whatever we're involved in. The most important thing is to stay faithful to God in the Lord's church and endure to the end. Now, have you obeyed the gospel? Well, if not, we stand ready to assist you. What must I do to become a Christian? The first thing is to hear the truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. As we study the word of God, we see that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us here on earth and died for our sins, not his. And that is a must, to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, John 8, 24. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, now we're ready to repent. Make a change of will. The way we're thinking is not right. If we're outside of Christ, we've got to change our way of thinking and submit to the will of God. Getting out of a sinful life and going in the right direction. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto Christ, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. As you see in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it's unto salvation. Now, the next step, here's where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As we are immersed, we're under the water. It's a burial. We're buried into the death of Christ. If you'll study Romans 6, verses 3 through 6. And as we are dying to sin and the blood of Christ washes away our sins, now we come up out of the water. We're walking in newness of life. And we're not joining any man's church. We're going to be added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself. Acts 2:47. Let's stay with the scriptures. Do what God says we must do to become a child of God. After we have been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and so forth. And now that we're added to the body of Christ, we need to remain faithful as we study today, enduring in the faith until the end, no matter what happens. And if we do that, when the Lord comes again, we're ready to meet him. We're going to rejoice, not want to run and hide, which is not going to work out. And so, am I ready today if the Lord comes? Are you? We thank you so much for listening today.